God bless you. How's everyone? Is everyone all right? I'm so blessed by everything that's already taken place. It's been so amazing. Glory to God. Let's just open up in prayer and we'll get into this. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we just want to thank you. Bless your name, Lord God. Just say you're great, man. You're so good. You're so good, Lord God. The best way that we act, Lord God, you still deserve more. You're truly wonderful, Father. And I want to thank you for blessing us with your presence today. I want to thank you for the cross and for saving us, Lord God, Father, and for offering that to all mankind, Lord God. I just ask for your presence to be here with us today as we go into your word. Ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just be in every single person here, Lord God, that you would give them the understanding to comprehend what's being said, Lord. Ask that your name and your name alone would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know, after all these ministrations that have gone on, I'm just so grateful that we serve an alive God. Oh, you don't mean that. I know you don't mean that. You clearly, God is alive. Do you get this? He does miracles. He lives. Nothing's too hard for him. He can't be boxed in. He's not a dead God. He's not a stone that we pray to. He lives. That's a reason to praise God. That's a reason to get excited, man. God is alive. God is alive. All right, hopefully you'll go home and you'll catch it. God is alive. You know what? I'm haps about it. I don't even care. I'm haps. It's like every now and then, God just breaks me out of that kind of mundane Monday and he switches on that light and he goes, Rich, I'm actually alive. Every now and then, and it's like a slap in the face to get out of a religion, like, and to get into it and finally clock, God is alive. He lives. He changed. Miracles can happen when the presence of God is in here. Miracles can happen. The impossible happens when God is in here. God is alive. Praise God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I want to just want to start by saying a massive thank you to God, first and foremost, for saving me. I'm just continually shocked at seeing the way he keeps on moving in my life. He's so amazing. And without God, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. With God, you know. Like, without God, I'm a nobody. I'm like Clark Kent with the glasses and that. I ain't Superman. I'm a nobody without God. And I'm so grateful just to have him in my life. So grateful to the pastors that we have him, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. They're an amazing man and woman of God. And even to see, and I sat down just thinking how far this church has come. I wasn't in it from the beginning. I came kind of halfway through it from when we was at, was it the Palace Hotel? And to see where we are at now, it's just such a testament to God and to their faithfulness to God. So, even given us this opportunity, gang, to take Wednesday nights. God bless you, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, so much for this. And the leadership team. And to gang, the gang leadership team, I just want to say a massive thank you for all the hard work that you've put in. It's invaluable, man. God bless you all so much. And to my wonderful wife, wherever she is. Oh, there she is. just God bless you so much for your friendship. Your godly counsel, your long suffering. She has to put up with me, innit? So, but no, God bless you so much. And God bless all of you for coming out tonight. So the theme of tonight is what are you saying? 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 So that's the theme for tonight. What are you saying? And I pray that God is going to bless you through this.
It's just a quick thing that came to my mind today, actually, as I was driving. I've had the pleasure of just last week having my little sister come up. My little sister's 16. I only just got back in, well, I only just met her really 9 months ago. So it was a bit of a shock to find out, I've got a little sister that was in secondary school kind of thing. So I'm really trying to get and be a part of her life and be an influence in her life because I know how ungodly men are like. So I'm getting along around my little sister's life quick. And I was just talking to her and I just said to her, like, you know what, I've really enjoyed having you during this week. And she just turned around to me and went, of course you have. And I went, what? She's like, yeah, of course you have. Like, you know what, Rich? I used to say to everybody, I'm so amazing. I'm just so amazing. I'm so great. Of course you love me. And she goes, now I've actually started to believe it. I actually believe it. I actually believe I'm amazing. And I was just like, Rob, this isn't from somebody that's saved. She's not saved. She's not saved. She's a 16-year-old girl. And she'll say, it's not even like I told her, oh, we're going to be doing a service on faith and what you speak or whatever. She just came up with it to me and she was like, yeah, I've just started to believe it. And I was just like, wow. Wow, the word of God is actually true. It actually works. And our main reading or scripture that we're going to be looking at is Proverbs 18:21, which is a very, very familiar portion of scripture. So if you could turn there, please. And just give me an amen when you get there. Nobody's saying amen. What's going on there? Are you not just saying or what? The Bible app is slow today, yeah? Yeah, all right, cool. All right, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I mean, that's like a famous portion of scripture, isn't it? Like, I've heard it so many times before. But I never really heard the second part of it quoted as well, along with that. And those who love it will eat its fruits. I've always heard, like, life and death is in the power of the tongue. It lies in the power of the tongue. But I never, ever heard that those who love it will eat its fruits. And I really started to think about what do you mean by that? That those who love it will eat its fruits. And God was just like, it's just like having this kind of conversation with God. And it was just like he was saying, it's reiterating what I'm saying in the first statement. If you love what you're speaking about, or let's put it this way, if you're constantly actually speaking good things, negativity, you will eat what it is that you're speaking. You're going to eat what it is that you're speaking. You know, even in the world, I went on a training yesterday. It's a behavior training. And it was all right. Kind of felt like it was a bit of a waste of time, but it was all right. But then one thing that came up, and even the world believes in this principle, they call it the self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy. And what this is they say, like a young child, if he's constantly told, oh, you're a failure, you're a nobody, you're a nothing, you're going to amount to nothing, da-da-da-da-da, eventually what happens is that child grows up and they either become a failure and they amount to nothing. This is a principle that the world understands and they see it. They take it on board as truth. It actually happens. So I want to ask this quick question to all of you lot that you can answer in your own minds. What is it that you say or you think in about yourselves? What do you say? What words do you profess and confess? Or what is it that you're thinking about yourselves? Everyone's getting quiet. I hope you're thinking about it. Yeah? All right. I want us to read about a group of people where God proves what he's saying. He goes, Rich, like, I was talking to God and he said, there's actually a great example, Richard, of this principle. And I was like, raw, where is it? And God was like, in the Bible. Where else? So if you could turn to Numbers 14. Numbers 14, chapter 1. And I just want to give a bit of a background to this story. Now, basically, the Israelites, Pastor on Sunday was speaking on it fantastically, but the Israelites had left Egypt, fantastic, and they'd gone through all their battles, all their wars, had been in the desert walking around, and now God says to Moses, I want you to send 12 spies into the promised land that I'm going to give you. Send 12 spies into it. So basically, they call up the 12 spies, they send them in, they go out and they spy out the land. And they said, it's an amazing land. It's got the milk there, it's got the honey there. You got to imagine, these people have been walking in the desert for years, man. And they come and they're seeing, there's no sand on their sandals no more. Sand on their sandals. It's not there anymore. Like, there's fruits. There's fruits that are the size that Mark Penman couldn't even carry in by himself. There's amazing infrastructure. There's fantastic things there. But, there's giants there. Ooh. There's giants there. And they basically go out. They basically come back. And they spread a bad report. Out of the 12, only two gave a good report. Only two people that were there gave a good report of that land. So here's the actual 10. They came up with like the most boldest self-defeating message ever, I think, to be recorded in the Bible. They say, you know what? We are like grasshoppers. We are like grasshoppers in our sight. So not even in their sight. Forget them, how they're going to view us. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. We've looked at them and we can't do it. We can't take them out. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. How are they going to view us? So they spread that report. And in Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 1 to 4, here is what the congregation do and say. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children to become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's select a leader, and return to Egypt. And I really want us to pay attention to what it was that they said here. If only we had died in Egypt, or if we had died in the wilderness, even though they had seen God do so many miraculous things, had seen God move in so many awesome ways, they got to the point where they said, if only we had died here. In fact, why won't God allow us to die in the wilderness? Let's just die in the wilderness. If you can go down to verse 27. How long, this is God speaking, how long should I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do with you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except from Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I think it says, something like that, or Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swear to make you dwell in. The part I want us to point out here is where it says, I'm going to deal with you according to what it is that you have said. Now, when I read that, goosebumps, it was all over my body. Because I was like, God, if you ever dealt with me with the way that I have spoken about myself, I would have died 10 years ago, man. What are you saying about yourselves? Children of Israel had seen God do fantastic things, had seen God move in fantastic ways. And they come up with a problem. And guess what? Problems are always going to present itself to us in this life. You're not going to get away from it. There's nowhere you can get. If you're rich, you're still going to have problems. If you're broke, you're still going to have problems. No matter what color, creed, even religion, you're still going to have problems. It's still going to face us. But here, the children of Israel got to the point where they said they had enough. They would rather die. And then the thing was, is that I don't think that they actually meant it. If you read on in it, you see the fact that they didn't really want it. It was like, no, God, no, don't deal with us like that. But God says, I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. So I will do to you. Ask the question, what is it that you've been thinking about yourself? What is it that you've been saying about yourself? Maybe there's possible personal struggles that you've been battling with. Man, I can't seem to quit this habit. Can't seem to deal with it. God, I just wish I would die, man, and be free from this. There's been times I've said that. Should God actually deal with it, as you said? My days, man. Serious. What words have you been speaking over yourself? What report have you been confessing over yourself? If God was to say tonight, I'm going to do to everybody that sat here exactly as they've been speaking, would that fill you with fear? Would it fill you with fear? Would you be like, oh my days? Or would that fill you with hope? Would you be like, yes, I've been praying to be that woman of God. I've been praying to be that man of God. Yes, I've been looking forward to my future. I've been saying, God, one day, I know that I'm struggling now, but one day, God, I know you're going to bring me into my promised land. One day, I know you're going to bring me in. God, I know you haven't forgot me. Everyone else may have forgot me, but I know you haven't forgot me, God. I know you've got my best interests at heart. Would we have faith? Would we have hope? Would we be looking forward to what it is that God will be bringing us into? Would you be fair? Just be fair. Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, if you're doing this Christian thing and you have not attached faith to it, you're missing. You're not even in the race, bruv. You're gone. Don't know what you're doing. Faith has to be involved with this. Whatever situation we come up against, we have to meet it with faith. That's what God is expecting of us. We meet it with faith. When we get a bad report from, some of us are at universities. If we flop in university and we get a bad report, you have to meet it with faith. Even if it doesn't look good, you have to meet it with faith. If you get a bad report from the doctor, you have to meet it with faith. No matter what you find yourself going through, you have to meet it with faith. Because God says without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. Time and time and time and time and time again, the Israelites tested God. It says, if you read further on in that chapter, I really encourage you to go and read it. It's fantastic reading and such a fantastic learning resource I found spiritually. Time and time again, they've tested him. God will bring them through one trial, only for them to come up to a next trial and go, God can't bring us through it. For God to bring them through a next trial. For them to come, God can't bring us through it. For them to bring them through a next trial. God gave them manna from heaven. Come on, man.
What will it take for you to believe? God gave them manna from heaven. Some of us says, look, God, if you would just do one miracle for me, that's it. I'll believe you for the rest of my life or whatever, whatever. But you know what this story proved? Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, they still didn't believe God. They still didn't believe God. I know it happened to me personally. I like to share like the things that I've learned, because it says that we overcome by the words of our testimony and the rest of it. I slightly slipped my mind, didn't it? God, you know. I remember especially like for me, one of the fantastic ways I've seen God move in my life personally is with Denise, my wife. That's why I always bring the situation up and mention it. But I know personally, when I was praying to God and asking God for confirmation, I was like, God, if you give me confirmation, God, if you give me the confirmation, that's it. I'll believe. Doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody does, I'll believe. Just give me the confirmation. Just give me the confirmation. Then God gave me the confirmation. I was like, God, now how's it going to work though? I need to know the footsteps of it. I need to know what, like, exactly how and how it's going to work out and what it is I need to do. And you know what? Just the prayer before, I was like, God, if you give me the confirmation, believe me, God blew my mind. He gave me the confirmation. But I still had questions. Even when we got together and God brought us together, I knew she was my wife. I knew I was going to get married. And we managed to plan our day and things like that. And then it was like, God, where's the finances from this wedding going to happen? Where's it going to come? God had already told me she's my wife. He told me that she's my wife. But I'm worried about, all right, but how's the wedding going to happen? God's already told us the end game. The end game is that God says is that we're victorious. Praise God. Some of us are still worrying about the blueprints of it. Well, how am I going to be victorious? I've got these demons that I'm facing. You seen my bills? Have you seen this manager in the workplace? I ain't feeling victorious. God's already told us the end game, but we're still trying to figure out exactly how we're going to get there. Just like the Israelites. God had told them the end game. You know what? The original thing that God had told Moses, if you read it, I think it's in chapter 13, verse 1. If you read it, God tells him, send, pick spy leaders to go and spy out the land that I am going to give to you. I'm going to give you this land. Look, it was already there. God had already said, I'm going to give you this land. They had completely disregarded that, gone into the land, seen that there were giants there and said, we're grasshoppers. We can't do it. We can't take it. Even though God had already said to them, I'm going to give you this land. You see, I'm going to help you fight for this land. I will think about it and then maybe we'll decide whether to go and fight for this. God said, I'm going to give you this land. There is certain fantastic promises in the word of God that we need to grab it and take it and run with it and hold it. There's an end game that God says that we're victorious. You know what? Even in death, we're victorious. That's why Paul's like, death, where is your sting? There's no sting in death. Even in death, you're victorious. Do you know where you're going? You'll be like, I waited this long to get here. God is great. God is merciful. God is fantastic. As Christians, we have every reason to be optimistic and not pessimistic. Every reason we have it. When we lose a job, I was listening to one song, music really ministers to me. And like, one of the things I've been thinking about is, God, like, what after I finish working where I'm working, or you move me, where am I going to go and work? God, now I'm a married man. I've got bills to pay, things like that. And that's just me as a married man. So God knows those that have got families that they need to provide for and things like that. And I was just listening to one song and it was talking about a situation where he said, you know what, 10 people got laid off work last week. And my wife was saying to me, what if you go in and you get fired? And he goes, that don't bother me. That's not my business. Jesus Christ is the one that covers me. How many of us can actually say that? Jesus Christ has got my back. Yeah, I might get fired. Yeah, I might lose my job. But I don't mean that makes me any less of a man or less of a woman or less of a human being. That's it. I'm just going to die or shrivel up here and become nothing. God has got your back to the point where he sent his holy son
a king. Not of this world, not the kings of this world. These kings here think they're rolling deep, innit? They doing it. They think they're rolling big, innit? But compared to kingdom, my days, with the angels that are like 7'2", you want to ramp with them? You want to ramp with them? Our God is a God that is amazing and fantastic, yet he became nothing to die on the cross for us. And we sit wondering if God will go that far, he will go that far to connect us back with the Father. How much more would he not look after us in this life? In this life, with all of his struggles, with all of his worry, with the way it piles down at us. What are you saying over your life? Some of us need to change and stop talking this nonsense. Honestly, stop talking it, unless you want to eat his fruits. If you don't want to eat his fruits, shut up. Don't say anything. Just be quiet. Read your Bible. Pray. I thank God you're so merciful that you didn't deal with me the way that some ways I've spoken. And you know what? Some of us sincerely need to go home and repent for the way that we have spoken and acted defeated, acted like the Israelites. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. Not even in our own sight, we're grasshoppers. How demoralizing is that? We're grasshoppers in our own sight. When you've got a big God backing you, when you've got a God that he parts the sea, he gives you bread from heaven, and you're saying we're grasshoppers. With whatever life will try and throw at you, as I said before, you must always meet it with faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Find a scripture and stand on it. Whatever situation that you find yourself in, find a scripture and stand on it, man. Stand on it, stand on it, stand. God, you said, look, this word is causing me to hope. This word is causing me to live. It says in our original main text that we said in Proverbs 18, verse 21, life and death lie in the power of the tongue. So that means that you can speak life. But I don't just think it's any kind of life that you can just start speaking. Not the ones of, I want a mansion, and you're going to see bricks start building itself. Like, it's not that. But John chapter 6. Verse 67, an interesting thing happens here. All right, I encourage you to read again, chapter 6. Jesus is teaching, preaching, and he says something that is hard for those that are listening for them to understand. They can't quite grasp it. They don't understand it. And it says that many of them actually ended up turning their backs and walking away from God and didn't walk with him no more. Walking with Jesus. So verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Because Jesus has said something. He's taught them. And he said, and they've the rest that was there, the crowd that was there, they're saying, we can't get down with that. We can't feel it. So they turn around their backs and they walk. And Jesus says to the 12, do you also want to walk away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Whatever situation you find yourself in, go and find what Jesus has had to say about it. Because it's Jesus that has the words for eternal life. As I asked the worship team to come back, what have you lot been saying? Don't get me wrong. I realize that people find themselves in difficult situations. But we serve a real God, a God where the impossible is possible with him. He gives us every reason to hope. I just want to read one more scripture. This is the worship team playing, do their thing. Just one more scripture. You don't have to turn there. It's in Numbers chapter 14, verse 37 to 38. And it reads, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Does anybody remember the names of those 10 disciples that died? Or not disciples, should I say. Those 10 spies that died. Nobody remembers their names. But we all remember the name of Joshua and Caleb. Because they met it with faith. You meet your situation with faith. There's a whole hall of faith. Abraham, Noah. Meet your situation with faith, man. God is good. You have every reason to give glory and to shout to him. Meet it with faith. Father, I thank you so much with everything inside of me that you are a good God. That you say that we should meet whatever situation we find ourselves in with faith. Not with fear, not doubting you, Lord God. Not viewing ourselves as grasshoppers. Jesus, I think you didn't consider us a grasshopper. You considered us worthy. Worthy of you pouring out your blood for us. And I want to do an altar call. If there's anybody that's here that does not know the Lord, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't share in this optimism that Christians have. It's as simple as that. But if you know Jesus, if you want to invite and accept Jesus into your heart so you can have every optimism regardless of what life throws at you, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'll be a liar if I said that. But I'm saying whatever situation you find yourself in, God is bigger and greater and stronger, and he won't be put in a box. God has never met a situation that shook him out, that scared him, that's made him say, I'm God and I don't know what to do. There's nobody that is not worthy of accepting Jesus Christ. So if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, I'd like to do an altar call for you. Please would you raise up your hand if you don't know who Jesus is in this building. If there's anybody here that does not know who Jesus is in this building, please would you raise your hand. I want to do another altar call, and that's for those of us who have been speaking negativity to come to the altar and repent, lest God should say, I'll do to you exactly as you have said, and let's promise or ask God to give us the strength to be that man or that woman that will live this life in faith regardless of what life tries to throw at us. We're going to walk this life with faith, with optimism, with a smile on our face. It's not easy, but God is our strength. God's our strength. We do this by the strength that God gives us. So the altars are opened for anybody that wants to come and say, God, I'm going to live this life by faith, not in doubt and not in fear. Father, I want to thank you that you are good. You are merciful, Lord God. That your honor, your praise, your glory should go on forever, Lord God. You give us all reason to hope, Lord God. You went to the cross. You even batted up the devil himself. There's no power, Lord God, that is stronger than you. You can't be put in a box. What box, Lord God? The earth, the fullness of this world is yours. It's yours, Lord God. Everything is yours, Lord God. It's your, my life is yours, Lord God. If I give
give my life, Lord God. You told me to live it by faith, Lord God. Give me the strength to live it by faith, Lord. Give me the strength to live it by faith, Lord God. No more bound in fear, Lord God. I won't live bound in fear. I won't live worrying about what somebody has to say, Lord. Father God, you are amazing. You give us a reason to hope, Lord God. You give us a reason to live, Lord God. I'm a witness of that, Lord. Because of you, I have hope, Lord God. Because of you, I have a new life, Lord God. And you offer this out to all of your children, Lord God. Glory, Lord God, to your name. Be praised, Lord God. Be lifted up, Lord God, in this place, Lord God. I pray for every single person that's here, Lord God, that's come to the altar, Lord God. I ask humbly, Lord God, Father, that you forgive us for any time, Lord God, we've spoken negativity and spoken rubbish, Lord God, Father. Forgive us. And now, God, I ask that you give us a new spirit, Lord God, a strength, Lord God, to meet our day-to-day struggles, our day-to-day lives, Lord God, with faith, Lord God, Father. Help us to have a different song in our hearts, Lord God. Help us to have a step of faith, Lord God, Father. A joyful heart, Lord God. God, we need your spirit to help us to do this, Lord God. You know where every single one of your children is, Lord God. And you're not ignorant to their struggles. But you give us hope in your word, Lord God. You say all things, not some, not three, not two, but all things work together for the good. All things work together for the good. For those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Thank you for your word, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that your presence will go with us even as we depart, Lord God, and go home. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would allow the enemy to steal this word from our hearts. But you would allow it to bear fruit, Lord God. Bless your children, Lord God. Be with them this week, Lord God. Strengthen them. Be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the service is officially closed. If you need to go home, you're more than welcome to. But if there are some people that are still praying or want to worship, that's fine too as well. God bless you.